What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
You know, Jeremy Otto just said to me, you know, Mike, you look fatigued. And I said, well, I was just recovering from the audio Ambien you just passed along with the Jared Goff practice audio.
You were fatigued before I played that.
I mean, well, unlike a lot of other people in this business, we actually do something called effort.
You didn't think the audio?
No, because it's training camp. I can't take it. What do you say?
Well, you know, getting Decker back was huge. Bobbity, boobity, boobity.
I have my headphones off.
I don't care.
Get out. Go call your kids, all 12 of them. Get out of here. Now, listen, we got business to take care of.
13 on the way.
I want to. All right. I want to ask a question. ESPN put something out, Tiger related. If you want Michigan conversation, Lord knows we did 2 hours of it. Odyssey.com rewind. I want to know if this is disrespect or not. This is a town that takes everything as disrespect. Everything. This is the eternally aggrieved, eternally victim city that is Detroit as it relates to sports. Okay. ESPN did a top 50 in-season update. Top 50 players in Major League Baseball. I want to know if they're disrespecting the Tigers or if it's just reality. And when you look at this, I'll give you the teams and who has what. There's only one good team that doesn't have a top 50 player. And it is the feel-good story of the Milwaukee Brewers.
Hottest team in baseball.
But guess what? You know who's got absolutely no chance of winning a World Series? The Milwaukee Brewers. How many top 50 players do you believe the Detroit Tigers have, according to ESPN and the front office people and experts and whoever put this list together?
Well, Scooble's there.
That's one. He's at number 3 overall. And that's the list.
I was about to say Riley Green.
Nope. They have one player.
Riley Green. Wow.
One player. Is that disrespect or is it just reality? As we watch the Tigers.
You know what? I'll answer this for 1,000, Alex. It's reality. It's their star players to Detroit Tiger fans, but the rest of Major League Baseball sees them for what they really are. Scooble, yes. Because when I look at a star player, it's, would I love to have this guy on our team? Mm-hmm. Scooble, I think every team in the major leagues would say, yep, would love to have him on the team. Okay, well, who else would you take? We're good at Scooble. We only invite in Scooble. So, no, it's not a sign of disrespect. I think it's more of a mirror to show you exactly what the league thinks of your team and the players on there.
And to this end, I kind of wanted to link this with what we discussed after the game yesterday. Look, I'll never apologize for a win, but when you win 1-0 on a sack fly over a 40-win baseball team, it's okay to look at this and go, man, this just isn't going to get it done. And specifically the lineup, and even more specifically, shortstop. And we brought up something yesterday, and I want to give people a chance to comment on it because we were on very briefly. If this team is still middling in 2 weeks, I think they're 6-5 in their last 11. So they've stabilized, but they're not playing good baseball. Okay, when I need a Matt Vierling miracle to save a bad loss against the Angels and help me win the series, when I win 1-0, when Flaherty gets bombed again, they're not playing good baseball. They're just not playing horrible.
Right.
But offensively, the lineup has a lot of problems. The shortstop position, whether it's McKinstry, who's no good anymore. It's weird. It's almost like he's becoming Zach McKinstry again. Baez, who's no good anymore. Also strange. He's Javi again.
Not an all-star?
No. In fact, he may end the season with a sub-700 OPS. He's already below. I believe he's down at 90 for OPS plus.
Give us back our All-Star game.
Oh, Lord, you could need him. And the Trey Sweeney obsession, I don't get. He's also terrible. I said something yesterday as an idea, and I wanted to know if people would be on board with this. Do you, on August 31st by 11:59 p.m., bring up Kevin McGonigal? He hit another home run yesterday, following two the night before. He has an OPS approaching 1,100. There are only four players in the last 13 years of baseball that have done what he's doing at the AA level to start. Juan Soto, Chris Bryant. Juan Soto, Chris Bryant. Think, Michael. Kyle Schwarber and Julio Rodriguez. Sorry about that. The point is, if he's still doing what he's doing in 2 weeks, and this team is still doing whatever they're doing, and if you want to make it just specific to the shortstop position, that's also fine. The league is saying you're short on talent. You hoard your prospects. You adore your prospects.
You love your prospects.
If I bring him up on August 31st for the expanded window, that means he's eligible for the playoff roster as well. I don't care about the 40, man. Cut somebody. Figure it out. And don't worry about the service time. First of all, it would have no great impact. Second of all, if McGonigal's this dude,
you'll sign him anyway.
You're going to treat him like Roman Anthony. Yep. You're going to treat him, forget about the scumbag the guy turned into, but you're going to treat him like the Rays treated Wander Franco. Yeah. Whatever it may be, you're going to sign this cat. You're going to treat him like Cole Keith.
I was about to say, even if it's Cole Keith. Mike, let me ask you a question, because it's yes, but now upon thinking about it 24 hours later, it's yes with this caveat. I want him up here for the simple reason of this. When you're in Double A, you're not going up against major league pitching. You're just not. There's no way you can simulate that. But I want him up here because if I'm Scott Harris, I need to know how close are you to a major league player. So I can get a little bit of a body of work so that even if I have to send you back and this experiment fails, I know what to tell the coaches to work on.
Correct.
Get him up to speed on the fastball or the breaking ball.
Are Chicago Cubs a good baseball team?
The Cubs?
Yeah. 68-51.
Yeah.
Right? Cubs are scuffling at the plate after just scalding the baseball for the first 3+ months. They're struggling at the plate. You know what the Cubs did last night? They called up their top prospect, Owen Cassie, whatever the hell his name is. You know why? They need help hitting the baseball. So if the Cubs are doing that, I just want to ask the question. Is it totally insane that if McGonigal is going to do this, this isn't normal? And you can go, well, Mike, 2 months ago, you were like, look, this guy's not going to get 600 at-bats until 2027. Right. That doesn't mean he can't get 50 at-bats in September. And he has gone on to move up a level. And in the proving ground of prospects, which is AA, not AAA. AAA is where people like me and Rico won't give up the dream, and Rico's throwing every fifth day. This kid is not just doing well at AA. He's redefining history. Mm-hmm. So I ask you, if you don't like my idea, cool. What's yours? Because I can't keep looking at the McKinstry, Baez, Sweeney, triple-headed monster of nothing.
No, I think it's a good idea because your worst case scenario is he bombs. He looks like Jackson Joe pitching last year, and he, you know what? The moment was too big. But that's your worst case scenario. And even in that, you learn what it takes to get him up to the majors. Okay, we thought he could be here in next year. Maybe it's going to take another 2 years. Best case, he comes up here, he gives his team a spark, and all of a sudden they start hitting the ball the way that they did at the beginning of the year. They start winning series the way that they won in the beginning of the year, not barely beating a bad White Sox team and taking that series, but no, when they look dominant, when they look like the best team in baseball. So absolutely, it costs you nothing. It's almost too good to be true. Like, there has to be a catch.
But it was since yesterday's show. It's almost like the Cubs did exactly what I'm asking this team to consider. And I'm not saying today. I'm saying if we're on August 14th and you're 7, 10, 14 days from now, and this team is still in this offensive funk, look, I understand I can't fix the bullpen. I can't fix the rotation. It's just got to fix itself. But the lineup, you actually have something you can draw upon. Mm-hmm. Look, if I had a couple of unbelievable prospect relievers or a starter, oh, bet your ass I'd be saying, look, we need to bring these kids up. We got to try something.
And the fact that, okay, I think for some people, they fall in love with the prospects being prospects because if you bring up a prospect, you know what you're doing. You're starting the clock.
Oh,
and
well,
now, what if it doesn't work? What if it doesn't pan out? It's almost like the people who don't want to make a trade. It's like you're so in love with the future that you forget about the right now. And my thing is, bring him up. Make sure he's here and he's eligible enough for the playoffs. Don't bring him up in September. No, bring him up at the, what is it, August 31st? Make sure he's in Detroit.
What do you guys want? You're driving home from work? I mean, you're going to start a four-game series against Minnesota. They're god-awful. By the way, nice of ownership to sell and then go, nah, we're not selling. All while finding out they've incurred $400 million of debt. Things are going great in Minnesota. Awesome division. The point is, I don't think it's a crazy idea. And if he's not ready, big deal. Big deal. I mean, realistically, this is a kid that, okay, you don't like my idea. If this is who he is, I'm sorry, but there won't be any service time manipulation tolerated. Oh, but he can be a free agent at 27 years old. If he's any good, the first thing you're doing is signing him. That's what real teams do. Mm-hmm. So 248-539-9797. You guys tell me what you want. If you're just tuning in, you want Michigan conversation about the notice of allegations and the COI and tomorrow, Odyssey.com rewind.
There's basically going to be stretching and skeleton drills until about 11 o'clock when the two teams will face off against one another in this joint practice day two with the Miami Dolphins. So we will get into what we're seeing when 11 o'clock rolls around. We could do play-by-play of the stretching, but we'll probably pass on that.
I'm proud of you going all football jargon. Skeleton drills.
Yeah, well, you know,
nice.
It is what it is.
Yeah, well, look, yeah, it is.
Yeah, well, you're doing passing routes against air. Okay, so Tigers win yesterday, 1-0 over the Chicago White Sox. Cleveland lost. The lead is 6.5. The Tigers have the second best record in the American League, game and a half behind Toronto, and a half game ahead of maybe. I got that wrong. Are they a game and a half behind Toronto, a half game ahead of Houston for the third spot, or are they a half game behind Toronto, a game and a half ahead of Houston? I'll look it up. Anyway, they're the second best record in the American League, and they won the series, Scott, in spite of many people thinking they are doomed. And now they got a Scooble start coming up, and, you know, good chance to get to a point where they will have won 4 or 5. Look, the offense, offensively, it didn't do much. And I was realizing one of the disconnects between the doom crowd and why I'm not the doom crowd. I actually don't expect the team to hit on all cylinders every day. I think it's really impressive when you're winning in spite of the fact that you don't need to hit on all cylinders to win. Yesterday, they pitched and played good defense. And the pitching was outstanding. And defensively, they did pretty much everything you'd want them to do. You know, Javi out in center field covered a lot of ground and made some plays. They turned one big double play and came close to turning another one on a very tough play. But, you know, and there were some uncompetitive at-bats. I mean, Javi early in the game, I think it was the fourth inning, they had the leadoff runner on. They stranded him. And Javi came up with 2 outs and struck out on what looked to me like 3 pitches, none of which were in the strike zone. And I went and looked it up today, and indeed on MLB.com, none of those pitches were in the strike zone, and he struck out. But, I mean, if Troy Melton, Sawyer Gibson, Long, Kyle Finnegan, and Will Vest can do that, they're going to win a lot of baseball games.
Well, I'm not concerned about the 8th and 9th inning. I think both of those pitchers can get the job done there. And I was excited to see Troy Melton pitch as well as he did yesterday. I said yesterday I'm going to see what that pitch count is at, how deep are they going to let him go. When he was perfect through 4, gets into trouble with the 5th, a leadoff double in the 5th.
Yep.
And you're like, oh, come on. Because you can see how this game is going to go. The offense is going to be sluggish like a wet sponge, and yet what happens? Strikeout, strikeout, strikeout. He was fantastic. Then comes out of the game, and Gibson Long comes in, does the job. It was you could look at it a bunch of different ways. I want to look more at the positive side, which is the pitching was outstanding. The defense was outstanding. Javi Baez looks as – he looks more comfortable in center field than, I don't know, 75% of center fielders you watch in baseball,
it's,
man.
It's incredible.
So good out there, and it's just fun to watch him glide in the outfield and take the right routes every time and make the plays that are tough, make them look easy, and that was great. Of course, there is downside. They had five hits in the game.
Yep.
They had five hits in the game. They faced a pitcher who was known to not have great control, and you know they didn't parade the base pass all that much in the game yesterday, and that's a little disappointing. But you know, tonight's a different story. They go up against a pitcher who they really roughed up a couple weeks ago at home against the Twins. They really roughed up the pitcher who they're going to go against tonight. Got him for 7 runs on 11 hits and hit not one, not two, not three, but 4 home runs against him. So maybe the offense is going to come back in tonight, and that'll be great. And then you can look at yesterday and say kind of a one-off. I hope that's the case. But the pitching was the story.
Yeah, I mean, two of these games in Chicago – the offense wasn't – they didn't do much at the plate at all for two of those games. And, you know, those were the two they managed to win. if you take a look at Melton, he's an interesting find and a card that they have to figure out how they want to play it. Like, when do you use Troy Melton moving forward? Does Troy Melton get another start here? Do they return him to the bullpen? Is it – they're still kind of seeking what this can be, you know, assuming, and it's not a safe assumption, it is a solid assumption, but assuming there's postseason baseball in Detroit, what role do they use Troy Melton? They got a month and a half to kind of maybe experiment a little bit and see if they can get more out of him.
Do you like math?
I do like math.
Okay, 40 games left.
Yep.
40 games left. If you have a honest 5-man rotation, you're looking at 8 starts per starter.
Yep.
And we've got, you know, Scooble going tonight, so I think it kind of coincides with that. Melton has thrown 97 plus innings.
Yep.
So far this year between the minors and the majors. His career high is what he did last year, was 100 innings last year. If he were to be part of the rotation the rest of the way and just goes average 5 innings per, that's going to put him at 140 innings.
Yep.
Have no idea what the innings count or the innings watch is on this young man.
Yep.
Right? But I can't imagine it's going to be too much higher than that, if even that high, because they want to be very careful with these guys and maybe open it up.
I think you're probably right. I think, you know, if typically pitchers in their early careers, they kind of ramp them up, you know, 70, 100, 130, as they build up, you know, strength and get used to it with their arms. So you very well might be right that in case of Troy Melton, there is a really good chance that they are not going to start him in a bunch of games so that they can use him more in the postseason. I mean, they got to love what they see. It's clearly early, but I can already see us getting calls if they do decide to ration his innings, if you will. People go, why aren't they pitching Melton?
I know.
That's probably why.
But there's, like I said, we don't know what the innings count is. That's a question for A.J. Hinch, and I'd love to hear the answer to that question, because there's a number of ways you can go at it. You know, you don't have to start him 8 times the rest of the way to get to that extra 40 innings, if that's what the number is. You could limit his starts. You could bring other guys up, which other guys will come up at some point, or maybe they're going to lean on the rotation that they had going into it. I'm excited, though, because he looks like he's a piece.
Yep.
He doesn't look like, oh, he's just some call-up for the sake of calling him up. No, this is a top-10 prospect in an organization who has hit the ground running, put together a nice season this year in the minors, and gets the promotion, and he looks good. A little shaky in one of the outings, but outside of that, he has been rock solid for this team.
Yeah, and I mean, Melton is a young guy. He looked pretty nasty, and I think you experiment, you push him as much as you can, but you're doing it to get him ready for the postseason. And then you got to see if Flaherty turns it around. I don't know what Flaherty's is. Flaherty tinkering, treading on thin ice here to maybe not be part of a postseason rotation? I guess I got to tell you, that outing yesterday, there was a bunch of runs given up, but it wasn't that bad.
His outing.
A couple days ago. Jack Flaherty was missing a lot of bats, and guys were waving at it, and they got a bunch of bloop singles. I thought he didn't get rewarded for a better outing. And, you know, I think they're probably a long way away from saying Flaherty wouldn't be in a postseason rotation, but, you know, he's done enough lately. The way he's pitched lately, you certainly can question it. I said Paddock's job is to help him get to the postseason, but that, to me, is it. I feel like they might be leaning on Charlie Morton. That feels like an A.J. Hinch guy, right?
Well, yeah.
But
it may have history together, but he has to perform.
Yeah.
Because that game Saturday night was not good. And despite the fact that the old man can throw it in the mid-90s, which is awesome, he got hit, and he got hit hard. So they need to figure some things out here. That it would be awesome if Jack Flaherty, if what we saw the other day, I mean, really should have gotten a better result than what was
like
there.
It.
I mean, it just bloop singles and soft ground balls
most
and just whiffs ground holes.
And an outing in the season.
Yeah, and there's a lot to like out of Jack Flaherty's last outing. I'm sure he's itching to get back out on the hill as well. But, I mean, he's one of the keys to this team moving forward here the last 40 games and going into the postseason, if not the number one key. They've got to have somebody step up and be that solid number two starter behind the ace.
Well, look, it feels like there's this sort of battle amongst fans, and I don't mean battle. In their own head of whether or not they should feel confident in this team turning it around after that dreadful stretch. And it's been a slower turnaround than earlier in the year when they had bad stretches. Kind of, they won a series. I feel like, Kang, you said to me today, Kang back in our studios, you said to me today, they pretty much won this series and probably did little to instill confidence because of the way they did it.
Yeah, it was the least inspiring, you know, confidence-building series win the Tigers have ever had in the history of the Detroit Tigers, right? Our pets' heads are falling off. We barely beat the worst, you know, one of the worst teams in the league.
But they won.
Exactly. And that's what you got to remember that fact.
Yeah, I think people, you know, look, if you watch the whole game yesterday, bases loaded, nobody out to get one run out of it. When you're that team that is your defense, when you're on defense and you've given up the bases loaded with nobody out and you get out of one run, you're like, that's a win for us.
Yeah,
but it was the one run that won the game.
Yeah, and they were a foot away from it being a three-run inning at the very least, because that would have been an easy double, would have cleared the bases, but it didn't. And that's baseball, Doug.
I know.
That's baseball. I mean, like we said, in the fifth inning, Sox did the same thing, leadoff double, nobody out, and he gets stranded not at third, at second base.
Yeah.
Because Troy Melton buckles down
so
and
good.
Gets strikeout after strikeout after strikeout.
So, fans, how you feeling today? They win a series at Chicago. Would you describe yourself as feeling any better? Any better? Do you feel any better? Because the Tigers, you know, we've all become a little bit of, you know, listening to A.J. Hinch. It's win series, win series, win series. And that's the formula they used in the first half of the season. They kept winning series. And, oh, look, that turned them into being the best team in baseball or having the best record in baseball. How you feeling today, fans? We're at Lions practice here in Allen Park, and Dolphins are out there warming up. When the two teams get together, we'll tell you a little bit more about what we're seeing. But right now, both teams going through warm-ups. Hey, lots of air quality alerts out there. Are you concerned about the air you breathe? You should be, and that's why you need to contact CGC Home Services. CGC offers Aeris Active Pure technology, reducing 99% of airborne bacteria, viruses, and mold. We've got one in our house now. Feel good about it. Why choose CGC Home Services? Rapid response, zero hassle, upfront pricing, no hidden fees, plus the latest advanced equipment and precision techniques. Call CGC Home Services at 855-339-4242 today. It's 855-339-4242 today, or visit them at cgchomeservices.com.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Talking both Lions and Tigers today, as one would expect, given that we are at Detroit Lions training camp, and our football coverage here on 97.1 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. All right, so before the show, we speculated that the Dolphins might be bouncing back today, and they are. We've also seen now three separate fights.
Oh, yeah.
One was a heck of a Donnybrook involving Dan Skipper. The other, with the Lions defense, there's been quite a bit of pushing and shoving with the Dolphins offense.
Rock Yassin for the Lions, the defensive back, he was getting into it. And getting into it with offensive linemen. Like, these linemen are doing a good job, at least for the Dolphins, of continuing to block downfield.
Yeah.
And that is taking some players have taken umbrage with that.
Yeah.
I think the Dolphins are also upset because they see 97 in the backfield on a consistent basis. I mean, Hutch is always there.
Yeah.
The other side, watching the Lions offense, it's a well-oiled machine. They were doing goal line stuff, and it was taking candy from a baby. Goff throwing it. He threw one pass to David Montgomery, easy touchdown. Another pass to Jameson Williams, easy touchdown. And there's some jawing going out there. I mean, J-Mo's been jawing both days, and he's continuing to jaw. And obviously what's going on the defensive side, it's a very spirited practice, as we thought it would be.
Yep. And, yeah, probably the number one takeaway when I'm walking away from here, when we're done this week, it's a reminder, because we haven't gotten that reminder this year because we haven't seen the starters. It's a reminder. This offense is really good.
It is.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that.
And it's really good, and they got different pieces in there on the offensive line, but it doesn't stop the offense from running well. And they're doing a great job. I've talked to two former Detroit Lions in the last 2 days. Both have had a same comment. Yesterday was William Gay, the defensive lineman, and said, man, no fights.
Yeah.
As he's, you know, leaving, there were a couple fights that happened right at that point. Rob Rubick just came by, and he said, hey, any fights yet?
That's funny.
And I said, yeah, it's starting to get exciting. He's like, man, game week. That's what it's all about. Like, yep.
All right. Feedback coming in regarding the Tigers. We're just asking fans. Look, this is back-to-back series wins. They're, you know, offensively, the two wins in Chicago were nothing to behold. These aren't. You know, you're not going to use this as an example of how good the offense can be, but they are back-to-back series wins. Are you feeling any better? Chris in Rochester says, I feel better after yesterday's win to the lowly White Sox, all part of the fact that one of our rising stars pitched a gem, and our bullpen did not choke. Our bats are less of a concern to me than pitching. So, yes, pitching was strong, as was our defense. I feel better. John and Fenton, Tigers feeling better but not confident. They put three more games behind them, winning two of three. That means the Guardians have fewer opportunities to catch the Tigers, but anything can happen. Do not like the fact that AJ is still trying to figure out our pitching staff this late in the season. Not a good sign. From John and Fenton. Well, no, it's not. What is intriguing is that there are options. Like Melton right now is making a case. How they use Melton will be interesting, because there's probably a number that they don't want him to go beyond in terms of innings pitched. But if you get to the postseason and he's still out there pitching well, screw the number. You're trying to win a World Series, right?
Yes.
But that might mean you're going to spot start him the rest of the way to minimize the taxing on his arm between now and the postseason. If, you know, I know there's some people saying, if you get there, got it. But there's a fine line of massaging his innings, rationing them, still trying to make sure you get there and you get one of the top two seeds, but also have him ready to go in the for postseason play too, right?
Exactly. I mean, you've looking at what this team has with the rotation. You've got Skubal, who you know.
Yep.
You're hopeful that Mize is going to be consistent. Jack Flaherty is up in the air right now because it's not been great starts from Jack Flaherty lately, but slightly encouraging with what we saw the other day. I mean, he got hit, but they were the softest hits you'll ever see. And then you've got some sort of combination after that with Morton, Melton, and Paddock, and Gibson Long. I think there's four pitchers there that can get the two rotational spots and do some sort of combination of it. And maybe that's exactly what happens with rationing the innings for Melton, is because you've got these other guys you can go to.
By the way, out on the field right now, a lot of special teams work between these two teams. A lot of kickoff return and kick coverage for both the Lions and the Miami Dolphins. From Jordan and Petoskey, hey guys, I love the show. I feel a bit better having Finnegan being able to accept the eighth inning role. Vest has been dominant in the ninth, but horrible in the eighth. That's from Jordan and Petoskey. Yeah, his numbers between the eighth and ninth have been different. You know, I mean, it's one of those weird subtleties of the game. Why? You know, if it's a high leverage situation, it's late in the game, there's pressure, right?
Correct.
There's pressure no matter what if it's the eighth or the ninth.
Well,
in a tight game. But
and Hinch doesn't really care who's labeled a closer. He wants, you know, he's going to put the guys out there, the best matchup for the team. Whoever's pitching the eighth and ninth inning, it's not set in stone. So, I mean, it'd be great if Vest could go out there in the eighth inning and just have the mindset that it's the ninth or whatever the case is. I've been encouraged with how Will Vest has kind of turned things around the last few outings for him. But Kyle Finnegan's been great. He's found that the right mix of pitches to throw. You know, he was good to very good with Washington before he came over here. I know the ERA was elevated, but it was just literally a handful of bad outings. And he had 40 outings with that team. 31 of them were scoreless. So coming to the Tigers, he's been very good at this point.
He has, and it's funny because the perception at the time was they didn't do enough. If people knew that they had a lockdown guy in the eighth inning, that they got that back, I just don't think people knew Kyle Finnegan well enough. You know?
Yeah, I think you're right. And it also was just the disappointment that people wanted others to be traded to the Tigers at that time, and they weren't.
Yeah. 248-539-9797. Do I feel better? Why do you even have to ask that question? This is it. These are the Tigers we see. This is who they are. Since the All-Star break, since the deadline, it hasn't gotten any better. They barely win a game against a horrible team, 1-0 game. They win without power. Yeah, they won the game, but they're weak. And everybody sees that, and Hinch has to play chess every time to barely squeak out a win. You guys are nuts if you think they're going to win anything this year. They're terrible. They've lost a huge lead. They've got nothing. That's from Paul and Ipsy.
J-Mo.
J-Mo just scored a touchdown.
Deep pass.
Yeah.
Had the guy beat by two steps at least, and it was perfectly thrown.
Paul and Ipsy. That is one hell of a text message.
Well thrown ball. I think it was Jalen Waddle going deep there. They did not complete it.
I'm guessing you didn't hear pay any attention to that text message.
Not one bit. Sorry. Come back at me, Doug. What was that?
Do I feel better? Why do you even have to ask that question? This is it. These are the Tigers we see. This is who they are. Since the All-Star break, since the deadline, it hasn't gotten any better. They barely win against a horrible team. 1-0 games. They win without power. Yeah, they won the game, but they're weak, and everybody sees that, and Hinch has to play chess every time to barely squeak out a win. You guys are nuts if you think they're going to win anything this year. They're terrible. They've lost a huge lead. They've got nothing. That's from Paul and Ipsy.
So, Goff hit Jameson Williams on a deep pass for the touchdown. Look, fair enough. This guy's upset. He thinks I'm surprised it's not all caps the way that he was writing that. But I mean, it's baseball. How many other teams are playing like the best of their capability at this point? You got the Brewers.
The Brewers are doing what the Tigers did earlier.
The Brewers,
right?
The Mariners, and the Blue Jays are kind of playing the best baseball right now. But teams that were really good aren't playing their best baseball right now. The Mets, the Tigers, the Yankees, the Dodgers. You know, these are teams that aren't playing great. Even Houston is kind of calmed down. So, if the playoffs started tomorrow, I'd be concerned. But they don't. So I'm not terribly concerned. They did win the series against the White Sox. I'm sorry they didn't sweep them or didn't score enough runs to your satisfaction. But, you know, Cleveland won their series against the White Sox as well. But they lost a game.
Yeah.
You know, and Cleveland lost last night. And I guess people aren't as concerned about Cleveland maybe anymore. They're just worried about what the Tigers are doing.
Okay, we got ones versus ones going on in front of us. We'll get back to some Lions coverage as Lions just got a long run from David Montgomery. Offensively, defensively, incompletion on a deep ball for Miami. We'll tell you what we're seeing. 248-539-9797. It's getting good out here at Allen Park. Some football talk next here on 97.1 The Ticket.
Hi, everybody. All right, let's get to business.
Rico.
Okay.
We're back to six.
I want to... Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to... I'll take a win any way I can get it. But 1-0 on a sack fly against a 40-win ball club, you can have that. The point is, I wanted to spin that into a topic.
Okay.
I'm going to say this, and I don't want my words to get all twisted around and stuff. I'm not pounding the desk for this. This is more of a, hey, here's a topic, question mark? We're sitting here in mid-August. All right, it's August 13th. Rosters expand in September. This team is getting nothing out of the shortstop position. Nothing. Okay. All right? Javi Baez stinks again, and Sweeney's never not stunk, right? I want to read you a list of players.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you why I'm reading you this list of players. This was sent to me by James Anthony Costa. Juan Soto. Good ball player?
Yeah.
Okay. Kyle Schwarber.
Yeah.
Monster power, right? Chris Bryant. Now, he had a couple of really good years. Yeah. Injuries just took it from him. And J-Rod. Julio Rodriguez for the Mariners. Those are four at varying degrees. Those are real ball players, right? Do you know what that is?
Wow.
Those are since 2012, the only four minor league players that have a higher WRC+, which I will explain what that is, than Kevin McGonigal, Tiger shortstop prospect. Now, weighted runs created plus, the simplest way is, it's like this wide-ranging offensive metric. It factors in what the league is doing. It factors in the parks you play in, and it's your runs created. It's what would you say you do here?
Gotcha.
Okay, it's a very powerful, albeit nerdy, metric. Okay.
I think I see where you're going.
Kevin McGonigal hit two home runs last night. He's got an OPS of over 1,000. I wanted to ask a question here. Asking a question should not warrant slander. I'm asking a question.
Let me get the text message up. Of course you say this.
Okay.
Getting ready to hit send.
If this is what the offense largely is, like last night, case in point. Oh, 3-run homer in the ninth. You're down 9-3. You're getting drilled. No one cares. Okay. The offense is just not where it needs to be. The lineup is struggling. If Vierling's on the IL, Meadows hurt, Baez stinks. If it's 2 weeks from now and we're about to hit Labor Day weekend, would you add McGonigal to this roster and give him a September tryout? It would maintain his rookie of the year status for next year. Mm-hmm. The rosters expand. There's no harm, no foul. Would you bring him up here and start him at short?
It almost sounds too easy. It almost sounds like there's a catch. It almost sounds like a free lunch. And it's like, okay, but.
Here's the catch. Very limited double A at bats. But 2 weeks from now, if you're doing what you're doing and he's doing what he's doing, would you dare? Because, look, I'm never going to apologize for a win, but I'm seeing too many games like today.
No, but this is one that you send with flowers. Not apologizing, but here's a bouquet of roses, honey. Mike, that actually may be a very good idea for the simple fact that being that nobody's faced him in the major leagues, he may actually, if he hits the ground running, he won't get that second time in the rotation of teams where they can figure him out. So you may actually be able to use him to that advantage because most teams won't get to see him a second time. So, yes, I would do it. I would bring him up because at this point, you need to add something to this everyday lineup. Winning two games against Chicago in one-run games, you won, but did you feel good about it?
And again, the shortstop position
is a good idea.
Large negative. He has to keep doing it for another 2 weeks. And again, if your offense blossoms all of a sudden, which, look, the offense can play well, but you still have a negative war at shortstop, essentially. I mean, if you think Javi's numbers in April translate to now, you're not paying attention. He's awful. Just like Sweeney's awful. Would you dare, Tiger fan? Because again, I'm crazy enough, crazy like a fox. My goal is to win the World Series. My goal is to do everything in my power to put this team in the best position to do the unthinkable. Well, they didn't want to do that at the deadline. I understand this kid won't be a 600 at-bat guy probably till 2027, but maybe he could approach it next year if they fast-tracked him. I don't need 600 at-bats. I need him in September. Mm-hmm. And if he's bad, let's make an assumption. You're not going to bleep away this entire lead. As long as you're 6, 7, 8 games up, how much worse could he be than whatever you're trotting out at shortstop? So in a limited run, and why do I say it's important? Because the league won't have time to really catch up to him.
And that's just it.
Video that gets around.
Right.
Rico's point about, hey, people seeing you another time. Am I partially insane, totally insane, or not insane at all with this idea? It's just this juxtaposition of like McGonagall again, two homers. I've said to you, by opening day next year, he could be viewed as the best hitting prospect in the minors. You have this one need. Mm-hmm. One. I'm asking, Rico.
No, I mean, I like the idea. You take a chance. It was kind of like when they brought, Job up last year for the playoffs, and you can see what he can do. And you know what? Job didn't flourish. But, yeah, by the time if McGonagall can come out there and hit the ball and play well, you won't know how to really pitch to him because it's going to be a very short window. So advantage Tigers. And you're adding to better defense at the shortstop position. It once again, it almost sounds too good to be true.
I know.
Well, there has to be a catch, but there is no catch. He's your guy. Yeah.
Please, baseball nerds, do not yell. It's a question. I'm not telling you they have to. I'm not making any robust demands. I just look at the two guys who would primarily play shortstop for this team, and they're both terrible.
And here's the thing, Mike. It's. I guess I look at it as like a reward. You've been playing so great. We're going to give you a little taste of the major leagues. And
if it doesn't go well,
you know, now you can go back to the minors with a little more knowledge of what you need to work on to get back up into the majors to stick. So I'm for this. I love this idea. This is not when you told me you had a topic. I didn't know it was this. This is good.
Well, I like keeping some suspense. I like an organic response. It's not to be devious. It's
it's just one of those. Okay, but what's the catch?
Well, I mean, look, I don't have a real catch.
If the only catch is less Trey Sweeney, okay.
Well, right, and look again.
And
I mean,
says David Claps.
Baez is barely hitting 200 last 30 some odd games. He's terrible. He's already regressed completely past where he was, all the way to the land of below average. By the end of the year, he may have an OPS under 600. Like, look. I'm trying to pathway it and go, all right, they're so beholden to their prospects. They love their prospects.
You start the clock on?
No.
September call-up. Yeah, it's not a starting
clock. It's a little bit of a cheat code now. 248-539-9797. Now, it's only a thing if you get no production out of shortstop the next 2 weeks, which likely, and McGonagall is rocking a Barry Bonds OPS at AA. And again, the four players, the only four guys that have ever done what McGonagall's doing thus far at AA since 2012, Juan Soto, Julio Rodriguez, Chris Bryant, and Kyle Schwarber. Three of those guys are all-stars. One of them's a Hall of Famer already. And if Julio Rodriguez could slow down his strikeouts, he's going to be a 10-time all-star. Look, the Chris Bryant one, he was an all-star, but his career faded quick. I just want to know if it's insane to think of this. And if it is, you're fine saying that. What I don't want to incur is the wrath of baseball nerd.
See, I don't think baseball nerd can say that because this is actually the epitome of what Scott Harris was doing, because he believed in the kids. He believed in the farm system that, yes, okay, as you say, cheat code, I'm going to bring him up and you get to spend about a month and a half with the team, big league team, and we'll see what you got, kid. And if we have to send you back, good news, you go back with knowledge knowing I need to work on X, Y, and Z so that I can get back up to Detroit and stay up there permanently.
248-539-9797. David, early returns on Ticket Text, or you're having trouble filtering out the cuss words?
Oh, no cuss words at all. Someone says if we're not going to make moves and protect our farm system at all costs, bring him up. Let's see what we have. That is Johnny on the road.
In September.
Mm-hmm. Zach on a cell says, I watched McGonagall play at two White Caps games this season.
Whoa!
White Caps games.
Forgive him, he was on vacation. He had other things on his mind.
He was in West Virginia.
He said he outplayed Max Clark in every metric. Doesn't even matter what he says on a text anymore because I blew it.
We've turned it out.
Bring him up. If anything, he gets some experience in the big leagues before next year. That is Justin driving home from work. So, yeah, a lot of people are on board here, Mike.
Are you?
Yes, Mike, bring him up now.
Are you on board?
Yes, I am on board.
If he's still doing this in 2 weeks now.
Yes, I'm on board. I am one, and you know this, I've been asking for a bat since the offseason, a right-handed bat, something that can spark this lineup. And if he's still doing this in 2 weeks, and I'm still seeing Trey Sweeney and Javi Baez doing what they're doing, yes.
See, David, I'm a little bit of the opposite. Unless he goes into full tank.
Your problem.
Listen. You're coming up in 2 weeks, son. Get ready.
But your issue is it's more left-handed power. But here's the deal. It just means I don't look at Trey Sweeney anymore. The fascination with Trey Sweeney is really something to behold. I don't understand it. I must be totally out in space. But if I replace Sweeney with McGonagall, and it's even a part-time thing, in September, isn't it worth a shot? Keep it in mind. We're going to take some calls. Rico's going to tell you how things are. And we're going to come to you next.
Well, I think because if Sweeney had worked out, it would have meant that you won the Flaherty trade because you got Flaherty back and you got Sweeney.
The way he's pitching, you can have him back.
I'm just saying. 2-4, right?
Sorry. 2-4. But you know what? Tell it. 248-539-9797. All right, David, how about a few of the ticket texts? Rico's disgusted at that last remark. David, by the way, are you jealous we have found somebody more prodigious in the breeding shed than you?
Actually building an all-star team between the two.
My God.
But just wait. David just went on that week's vacation.
I know.
Oh, no.
So he's Jeremy?
Otto, what's the fastest this. You could have another kid again?
Oh, well, I don't know, 3 months, 4 months. I don't think that's going to happen, okay? I mean, physically, I think it's
6 to 8 weeks.
I mean, we're two away from a basketball team. Don't you need to hit that mark? I don't know.
Otto, we just asked you the question. You've
been hitting the mark.
You're like, yeah, I was going to say. Got a real American sniper over here.
All right, I'm out.
Woo! Otto's free time. All right. David, the ticket text, please.
I've met my match.
I'm going to tell you, you two are right up there with like Into Mischief. And we got the Stallion series in here. You two are really competing.
I refuse to watch the Tigers when Sweeney plays. He is not a major league player. So, yes, call up Kevin McGonigal.
In September, I want to make that notation. I'm not being unreasonable.
For the September call-up. Yes, right. Not right now.
I just, and for the people just joining, no, we're not on crack. The kid has an OPS north of 1,000. There's only four players that have a WRC plus higher than McGonigal since 2012. It's Julio Rodriguez, Juan Soto, Kyle Schwarber, and Chris Bryant. Your shortstop position is Bernie Lomax, a.k.a. Weekend at Bernie's. Mm-hmm. Hey, trade deadline's passed. Not sure if you're aware of that. I'm trying to win a World Series. What would the harm be? If he's the goods, you're going to look to extend him anyways. Mm-hmm. But go ahead.
For September, why not do it? He can get some experience, and AJ can use him where he can be comfortable. It almost makes too much sense for this kid. That is Adam in Toledo.
And of course, I know there will be the, you know, hardened baseball nistas. You know, they have all the answers, yet they've never worked a day in baseball. The point is, me. If it doesn't work, there's no harm. No one's going to destroy his confidence. And I trust AJ Hinch explicitly to use him as he sees fit. And here's the other thing. I'm trying to win. Do you really believe this lineup, playing the way it's playing, is going to win a World Series? Okay, good talk.
No. I mean, I thought that was a rhetorical question.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
I sounded too sincere. Right. Got it. Let's go to Owen, 97.1. Owen, how you doing, buddy?
I'm great. You know, I shouldn't say I'm great. I'm okay after watching what was today. You know, I think Kevin McGonigal, that would be an awesome move. Not only for the team, but for our favorite owner, Chris Illich, he would get a lot of people coming to the game because, hey, second-ranked prospect in the MLB is playing tonight. Come out. And also, I feel like this also brings up a couple more things. I'd bring up a few other people. Dylan Smith back up, UDFA Tommy Kahnle or Rafael Montero. I would also bring up Jay Hen and bring down Jermai Jones. Just giving you a couple other people.
Well, I got to tell you something. Did you hear the Kahnle comments from AJ?
Yeah, I read what he said, that he's, you know, there's only so many opportunities he can get when in low leverage situations, and that when you're trying to win, playing is like pitching in games is not a way of fixing yourself.
It basically sounded like I'm putting him in timeout and I'm only pitching him if we're up 10-0.
Up 10-0 or down 10-0.
He's our Maeda replacement. You know, I miss Maeda, so I'm happy I get Kahnle.
Yeah. But no, Owen, I just, again, we have a couple of weeks to where it would become more real. And it's just, look, I'm trying to find a solution. You know, I want to give this team the best shot possible. Mm-hmm. And it right now, there's nothing I trust in. And let's be clear about something. Being 6-5 in your last 11 is only considered success based on you'd lost 12 of 13 at one point. Mm-hmm. They've stabilized. They've got a 6-game lead. If Cleveland wins tonight, it's back to 5.5. You're not out of the woods. Now, thank God the Twins are on tap. Now, if you can't hit that pitching staff, I can't help you.
I know. I guess you shouldn't feel stressed playing the White Sox and the Twins.
No. But you know what I'm going to tell you? First time and maybe the last time I will ever say this in my lifetime. Thank you, Corp. Mm-hmm. Thank God for Matt Vierling last weekend with the miracle 3-run bop off Reed Detmers. Because otherwise you would have lost that series too.
Face a franchise.
At least he hit the 3-run bop.
No, he did.
Then got hurt.
Right. It was just like, oh, okay, right? Because the whole thing was like, wait, you don't want Carpenter? This is okay. It's not a mistake.
The Carpenter stuff's starting to annoy me. And AJ's a Stanford grad, and I went to Michigan State. There's a big difference. I can't take pulling Carp early to look at Jermai Jones the next three bats.
Thank you.
All right, whoa.
Could not believe that last night.
It's like the voice of God right there.
Just play carry. I don't need Jermai Jones in a situation where I need a good just bat.
Not that early in the game. That's all.
Oh, lefty righty.
Or just leave him in there.
I know. Look, I'm trying to be fair. Okay?
Okay.
It's my second favorite F word.
All right.
Let's go to Ethan. That is about football helmets. It was NC State's football helmets. Why?
don't know.
You know, I try to bring fun to the show. You bring slander.
Those are your words.
About a football. You know what? Tell with you.
I mean, you're a real problem.
I'm going to go to Ethan, 97.1. Ethan, how you doing, buddy?
Fellas.
Damn it.
I am booming today, for sure. No good. Doubt about that.
Good.
Hey, listen, Mike, if either of these two try to give you any slander about, you know, bringing up McGonagall or anything like that, you got to do like Kenny said, and it might be time to get rid of black jobs.
I'm not, Ethan, I'm not doing this. I'm going to let you just, you go right there. My God.
Listen, Ethan is beyond stage tonight at 8 o'clock.
I appreciate you taking the call. Listen, I'm going to take it a step further, because if I'm not mistaken, if you're a September call-up, you can't play in the postseason. Is that correct?
I forget what it is. It's you'd have to add him to the 40-man.
It's August 31st. It's August 31st, yes. By 11:59 p.m.
Then August 31st is what I would do.
Yeah, you have to, because the problem is, if he does hit and if he does play well,
you need him in the playoffs.
He has to be in the postseason roster, because God forbid you have to strip yourself of him,
yeah,
and then play Trey Sweeney. I can't even say his name. It gives me the chills to think about.
It's a weird fascination.
You know, it's so weird. The Trey Sweeney, we got him in a trade, and he was a throw-in for the trade. Yes, he played well for us down the stretch last year, and I appreciate it. That's done and over with. And guess what? He hasn't hit the ball since. So excuse me for being ready to move on from that experiment. But in all seriousness, right now, the major problem for the Tigers is there are two guys coming out of the bullpen that I trust, and Melton is working on being the third.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy Canley has to be launched out of a cannon.
He's done,
and sent to the moon. He has to be. And that's the biggest issue with this team right now. You can't walk into the playoffs with three guys out of the bullpen.
Here's the other thing. Look, I'd hate to say it, but outside of Skubal, I don't trust anyone right now to take the ball game two, you know, Yankee Stadium or in Seattle or whatever it is.
No. You're completely right with that, Mike. And the problem is, you look across baseball, right? And a lot of the elite teams, a lot of the really good teams, especially in the American League, have been faltering lately.
Yes.
It hasn't been great. But you look at what they're going to bring to the table roster-wise postseason, and you don't have the manpower to match up with those guys. So what do you have to do? You have to have, number one, the best manager in baseball, which this team does in A.J. Hinch. I firmly believe that. And you have to have a bullpen that can come in and get you key outs. You have to.
Yeah.
It is essential. So I don't know if it's Alex Lang coming back up from his injury or what.
You can tell, though.
You have to have another arm come up and help this team.
And AJ feels the urgency. You can hear it in his voice. You can hear it in his answers, Ethan. And I'm up against it. I do appreciate it, including you supporting me against Rico and David Slander.
They're pretty much
unbelievable.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Look at these perfect fields out there.
What's that?
The perfect football fields, the practice fields out here. And this is why they're perfect, because they spend all this time working on them. The guys are out there. They got three guys out there with divot mix.
Yep.
Filling in the divots.
After every practice.
Love it.
After every single practice. Thanks to people out here that has made this week fly by at the Meyer Performance Center. We do appreciate it. We'll be at the Dream Cruise tomorrow. And I mentioned before the break, new favorite in the American League. Did you see this, Scott Anderson?
I have not.
Okay. Any guesses as to who it is?
It's going to be one of two teams, either Seattle or Toronto would be my guess. And I'll go Seattle.
Seattle is now the favorite to win the American League at plus 350. Toronto is plus 375. Detroit is plus 400. Houston is plus 475. Yankees plus 600. the Boston Red Sox plus 700, Texas plus 1600, Cleveland plus 2500.
So there is not a ton of separation between the top three teams there.
No.
I mean, it's 50.
Yeah. I mean, and for people who don't understand how the system works, if you bet, if you're plus 350, that means if you bet $100 and your bet comes through, you win $350.
That's correct.
In Detroit's case, being plus 400, here comes the mowers.
Right.
If, being plus
500. 5 minutes, man. That's all we need.
Detroit being plus 400 means bet $100. And if the Tigers win the American League, you win $400, which probably is like the lowest it's been. Like probably the longest odds they've had in a while, given the way they've played lately. But we asked people through much of the day, are you feeling a little bit better? And there's not a whole lot of people feeling a lot better, maybe a little bit better, but I don't know the confidence has been reinstilled, and I get it. I don't think it should be reinstilled. I just, you know, you look around baseball and you go, okay, if the Dodgers can get swept by the Angels, and the Angels can come to Detroit and lose a series, and then take on the Dodgers and sweep them, if the Dodgers can blow a 9-game lead, they're now a second-place team, and they're healthier, by the way. It maybe has some people going, okay, what the Tigers are going through is typical even for good teams. And it's funny because I think the metric that I use to determine how good or bad you are, it's ultimately the record, but when you're not hitting on all cylinders and still winning games, I think that's a sign of a pretty damn good team. But, you know, it's not a dominant team. And for a while there, they look like they might be a dominant team.
Yeah, I mean, they were playing so well, and it's things have obviously have changed. And you know, look at the last 10 games. Seattle is 8-2 in their last 10 games. They are chasing the Astros, and they're catching up quickly there. The Tigers are 5-5 in the last 10. The Guardians are 7-3. Obviously, they've made up a bunch of ground. And then you're getting some separation now in the East because Toronto has just been lights out great, although slowing down 6-4 in their last 10. But nobody else is better than 5-5 in that division in that same stretch. Look, there's 40 games left. It's not going to be easy to salt this away. I think they'll do it, and I think they'll do it with plenty of games to spare. But for our own sanity as Tiger fans, you'd like to see, you know, a little bit more comfort level than what we've seen over the last couple weeks, where it has been some nail-biting stuff here. 6.5 game lead looks pretty good. They've got 4 games coming up at Minnesota. Excellent chance to get off on the right foot tonight with Tarek Skubal on the hill, taking on, was it Bailey Ober?
Yeah.
Who just got lit up by the Tigers last time they faced each other a couple weeks ago. He gave up 7 runs on 11 hits, including 4 home runs to the Tigers in over 5 innings of work there. So, you know, this is a matchup that should favor the Tigers quite heavily.
Dude, Skubal, like, is such a stud. And to have him on a night like this where the team's trying to get back into gear, you know, knowing that you're throwing him every 5 days, I remember we felt this way about having Justin Verlander. When you don't have the guy, you're jealous of the team that does have the guy. And we had the guy in JV, and now we got the guy in Skubal.
We had two guys for a while.
Yeah, we did. And the thing about Skubal is there's still boxes he needs to check, right? A postseason, you know, solid postseason would be one of them. You know, leading this team, I think, you know, we just gave the odds to win the American League. I don't look at this as a team that I think, well, if this group doesn't win the World Series, what a disastrous season. I might feel that way in a few years when guys get a little bit older. Maybe they're a little bit more favored. Maybe they're even getting to the end of the rope. Like, I feel like the window is kind of just opening for this Tiger team. I'm having Skubal to go tonight. Because they're, like, yesterday, the stuff that sticks with you, I think of the Javi at bat in the 4th inning. 3 pitches, none of them in the strike zone, 3 swings and misses. And that's the stuff that we saw when the Tigers were the worst version of themselves. You see that in a game. You see a team, bases loaded, nobody out, only get 1 run. And that can be that can rattle you as a fan. The other side of it, Troy Melton. Troy Melton has become a fascinating figure in this late season Tiger playoff chase.
It's crazy to think that he could be one of the keys down the stretch here. And yet he can be. I don't know how they're going to use him, if he's going to be in the rotation the rest of the way. 40 games left. That would be, you know, 8 times through the rotation. He's already thrown 97 innings this year between the minors and the majors. Last year was a career high for him at 100. So, you know, start doing the math on how many innings you think A.J. Hinch is going to give him. And I think you're going to find that they're going to – they'll find ways to get him to start some games. But I don't think it's going to be every 5 days. I think they're going to be very careful about this because they want to be able to maximize his innings.
Well, let's put it to you like this, too. He's got a lot of proving to do himself. But sure. The early returns
– look great.
Really, really good.
I mean,
Troy,
particularly though. The fifth inning yesterday. He was, I think he was perfect through four. Then in the fifth inning, gives up a leadoff double.
Yep.
And like, oh, no. The way this game is going, one run may be all it takes, right?
Yep.
And runner on second, nobody out, and he strikes out the side. And gets to the dugout, gets the handshake, the hug, and everybody, you know, the accolades that he deserves. And then Sawyer Gibson Long comes in, and he tosses two perfect innings as well. Or shutout innings. He was great.
All right, before we wrap it up, one final thing, kind of fun. Happy birthday to Colt Keith.
Oh.
Who turns 24 today. Gator?
24.
Where were you and what were you doing when you were 24 years old?
So it would have been I would have just finished up my first year at the radio station. So I was still working in the mailroom, still living at home. And probably you would have found me, easy to find me, at the lodge at Orchard Lake. But before they moved locations, I was...
you were a regular?
I was definitely a regular at
Norm.
The lodge. A lot like that, yeah. A lot like that. And it was great. I used to love going there when I was younger. And a lot of my friends, it was a core group of guys. We'd go to the bar and have a great time.
When I was 24, I was in my first job in radio, full-time, first year. It was the... year that Cordell Stewart completed that pass.
That's my brother got married on that day. Yep. Yeah.
That was year one. I was living in Ann Arbor in a two-bedroom apartment, three dudes. I had a bunk bed. I was in the bottom bunk.
Bunk bed?
Yeah.
A bunk bed?
Yeah.
You're a grown-ass man.
I know, right? I was doing a little TV work at the time as well. Kang, where were you and what were you doing when you were 24?
Sorry, guys. My headphone just went out for a second there.
That's all right. Where were you and what were you doing when you were 24 years old?
I was following Gator's path. I was at this radio station. I think I finished my first year, a part-timer. But I was not living at home. I was living on my own. But, I was not as far along as Colt Keith or even Penny Sewell. But 24, I thought I was doing pretty good.
You're still doing great.
I was questioning every decision I made.
At the age of 24?
Well, yeah, because at 24, you're like, okay, you start your career path, and mine started very slowly, as you know, because working on the mailroom. But I did not want to leave the Detroit area. I could have gone to, you know, everybody cites Alpena. Gone to Alpena and started my career there, but it's not what I wanted to do. And you know, at the time, I wasn't even I didn't know that it was going to be sports radio, so I just wanted to work at a radio station in Detroit, which I was doing. But the experience I got was invaluable, learning every aspect of the building, from sales to production to promotions to the on-air product, which was talk radio, which was – it was great, and I loved that. But at the same time, I had friends of mine that were taking a chance, moving out to L.A. to do whatever it was they were going to do. There were four guys together who were going to move out there. Like, you got to come with us. I'm like, yeah, didn't do it. And I'm glad I did, and things worked out wonderfully.
I felt like everybody else was making more money than me, too.
Well, without question, Everybody's making more money than I
was. Rico Beard, we ask you the question. It's Colt Keith's birthday. Happy 24th to Colt. Where were you and what were you doing when you were 24 years old?
Wow. 24, I believe I was getting close to, like, I was in the middle of grad school, I believe. So, yeah, I was at MSU in grad school.
And this was a, were you going for a master's?
Yes. Graduate school. Yes.
Yeah. And you remember where you were living and what you did to entertain yourself?
I was living downtown in a luxurious Capitol Commons apartment. Nice. So, yeah, I could see the Capitol building from my patio. That was great. Sweet. Yeah. Certain nights, if you looked the right way, when the Lug Nuts would win a game on Friday, they would light fireworks. So there you go.
Gotcha. Mike, where were you when you were 24? Were you here or were you in Lansing? You were here, right?
They want to know where you were at when you were 24.
I was here.
Yeah, I thought so.
Booming.
I thought so. All right, boys, have a great show. We'll be at the Woodward Dream Cruise tomorrow. Stay safe, everyone, and treat each other with respect. 97.1.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.